reached too far, as Lena's expression darkened. Mocking a woman for her freakish strength isn't a good survival strategy, Shy. Is Terry aware just how useless your produce is? Willowwood is soft and weak, good for neither buildings nor weapons. The only reason anyone seeks out a willow tree is to cry under its branches or take down a switch to beat their kids. You're hardly one to talk about my deficits when you have so many of your own to hide. Ouch. Terry could tell Lena's shots hadn't entirely missed the mark, either, and both women were now glaring.
Okay, that's enough out of both of you, if you don't mind, Terry said.
The words were out of his mouth before he could think to stop himself, and both women turned their glares on him. Neither was happy.
Shy's value to me is indisputable, as I suspect yours will be in time. Lena, I admire strength. To be honest, I don't really care about the milk thing.
He trailed off, turning a bit red as he glanced away.
I mean, what the hell would I do with a woman who had to pull off to the side every however often and do whatever it is lactating women do?
He pulled a cantaloupe from a vine nearby and cut into it with his knife, then set to with a will, doing his best to ignore the frigid atmosphere coming from his companions. He was almost done with his first melon before either woman spoke, and to his surprise, it was Lena.
While I'm not thrilled to be called out on my problems, they are problems, Terry.
She turned to face him, and her expression told him she was genuinely confused at his attitude. He looked at her and made sure she saw his own incredulous expression as he said,
You telling me you consider it a problem to be amazing? Maybe I have no basis for comparison, but I can clean and press 260 for reps, and I'd bet everything I ever owned you could do 300 or more. Go ahead, tell me you aren't the strongest person you know.
Her brow furrowed as she said,
But I am the strongest person I know. That's not the point.
He spread his hands.
That is the point. You're a beast.
Shy winced and said,
Wow, you really know how to woo a lady, T. Just what an insecure woman with body image issues wants to hear. You're a beast.
Body image issues? Are you serious? How do you get lifetime way the fuck out here?
Terry shot back, but he could see that she had a point. What he'd said certainly wasn't what Lena wanted to hear, given her expression.
It's a compliment,
he hastened to assure her.
Don't crush me, please.
Aren't you intimidated by me?
She asked.
More than a little bit,
he said, conceding readily enough.
You couldn't pay me to brawl with you, and that's pretty much what I do for a living.
She stepped closer, and he stood up. Then looked up. She folded her arms under her prodigious chest and glared down at him as she said,
Are you trying to tell me that you want a woman who can crush you?
What the fuck is it with the mind reading?
His eyes were wide as he looked up at her. She was a titan. She could have wrecked it on American Gladiator. Despite the fact that she had lats for days, arms as big around as his thighs, and a physique that would have made the finals in Miss Olympia, there were no traces of the ravages of steroids, or HGH, that would have been required to get a human woman to her heights, if it could be done at all. Her face, with its upturned nose and big brown eyes, was positively adorable, made even more so by the wide, rounded cow's ears she currently had angled his way. Her chest was... good grief. Her long brown hair was done in a pair of braids over her shoulders, and her bangs stopped just short of her eyes. Even the long tail with its tufted tip that hung low behind her did nothing to detract from her charm. Did he want her? He nodded slightly and said,
Hell yes.
Her aura of invincibility crumbled, and she shoved him as she said,
Really? Terry, no man likes to be overshadowed, especially strong men. I make most of the men of my own race look frail. You can't be serious.
That needs to be our catchphrase. I need to start a tally of how many times someone in my company, self-included, says that shit.
It was obvious she wasn't trying, but the force of her shove half-spun Terry around. He turned back to her and spread his hands.
You want me to tell you to go?
She shook her head. The sweep of her longhorns made that an impressive gesture on its own, and left Terry boggling at the size of her traps.
I just can't get over how huge this woman is.
He stepped forward, putting himself right below her as he said,
Calling me a liar?
She took a half step back and he followed her, staying inside her personal space, forcing her to look almost straight down at him.
You don't have to answer that, Lena. I'd rather you didn't, in fact. You stepped up and took a chance, a big chance. Now you're here. Why are you challenging me about why I want you to stay?
Rather than back away, Lena knelt, which put her head just below his. He had to lean away to keep from being bludgeoned by her chest as she did so. She said,
You aren't from here, obviously. People of my race aren't. We don't. What she's trying to say is that the men of her race are valued for their strength and battle prowess. Their women, on the other hand, almost universally support their families with their milk production. They're famous for their kindness and soft touch, Shai said, not bothering to look up from where she sat shaping the block of wood in her hands. Lena's head swiveled as she looked back at Shai, and Terry had to resist the instinct to duck as that longhorn came looming toward him. It stopped before it reached him, though, and she glared at the other woman as Shai went on.
Lena has a quirk that, while rare, is not unheard of in her race. She's what her people call double-muscled. In minotaurs, it's a sign of future greatness. In a minotress, not so much. She's refused the attention of men, I presume, because it's typical for women with her particular abnormality to be unable to produce quality milk. A minotress begins producing once they have sexual congress, whether they are with child or not. She's been holding out because as long as she doesn't have sex, she has hope. She's pinned those hopes on you and your unique ability.
Lena's expression fell as she turned back to Terry and shrugged her massive shoulders. She said simply,
She's not wrong.
Okay.
Terry paused, mentally stepped back from the situation, and thought about what he should say. It seemed obvious to him, but he'd made some serious errors since coming here and didn't want to risk opening his mouth to make another one before thinking things through.
Lena?
She met his gaze, and he looked at her with all the sincerity he could muster as he said,
No matter what happens, you can stay with me. Someone like you, that's grown up hard because of something that wasn't your fault, I'm not going to turn my back on you.
She bowed her head as he spoke and took a gasping breath. With the edge of a sob in her voice, she said,
No one will ever see me as anything but a failure. If I can't produce good milk, Minotaur men reject me on sight because of my physique. Please, Terry, help me.
Lena, I don't know how this thing works. I really, really don't know if I can help you, but we'll see what happens. You've got guts, and I respect that. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing wrong with you. I want you to stay with me. If what I can do doesn't get you producing milk, I still want you to stay with me.
Strength is cheap, Terry.
Lena paused, took another long breath, then said,
It can be had from anywhere. My people's milk is what makes us welcome. Without it, I don't know how I'll live. If you hadn't come along, the village would have forced me out soon, anyway.
I cost too much to keep around.
He laughed and cupped her face, turned it up to look at him, and said,
Well, you're shit out of luck anyway, then. I don't have any money. If you can't eat what Shai can grow, I can't afford to keep you around either.
Shai giggled at that and shook her head as she said, You're far too nice, Terry. It's a failing. He glanced over Lena's shoulder and said,
Shai, this woman could break us both like twigs, whether you're a tree or not. Be nice or be kindling.
She looked up in alarm at that, saw his grin, and then rolled her eyes as she returned her attention to what she was working on. Lena snickered, covering her mouth with her hand, but he could see tears brimming in her eyes and could tell she was one breath away from breaking down.
Time for the Hail Mary.
He leaned in and kissed her forehead softly, wiped the traces of moisture from beneath her eyes, and said,
I'm not good at the whole sympathy bit.
Lies.
Shut it, Shai. Not helping. Lena, you're free to stay or go as you please, but I have a feeling I'll be needing you for who you already are. I honestly couldn't care less about what comes out of your tits. I know you do, and that you've been obsessing about it all your life, but try and relax. You can do whatever you want with whatever you get from me, but however it turns out, I hope you stick around. I'm new here, and I need good friends if I'm going to make it. I hope to make you one of them.
Shai glanced up, caught Terry's eye, and blandly said,
You poor man. You realize she's going to break you now.
What?
Lena put one hand on his shoulder and another around his back. She leaned in and kissed him. It was immediately apparent that retreat was not an option. Terry only dimly heard Shai add,
Like a twig.
Lena's tongue was as strong as the rest of her, and she quickly invaded his mouth. She tasted earthy, and Terry did his best to respond to the kiss in a way that wouldn't give away the fact that he felt more than just a bit of panic.
She really could break me if she wanted to.
When the kiss broke, Lena looked at him with hunger in her eyes and said,
I guess it's obvious. I've never done this before, huh?
He chuckled incredulously and said,
Somehow I think you'll catch on quick if that's how you start. At this point, I'm just hoping I'm not too small for you.
Oh, no, no. I saw what you've got yesterday, and it made me feel really good about this. You're no minotaur, but you'll do. As your dryad so crudely pointed out, I'm a virgin. I promise I'll be tight for you.
Shai didn't bother to disguise her cackling over that one, and Terry had to admit that he wasn't sure if he should feel complimented or not.
My dryad?
She's not wrong, Shai said,
tossing Lena's words back into the fray with brazen disregard.
I'm pretty much your woman now, T.
She smirked at him, and her eyes glimmered with mischief.
I'll be depending on you.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
Lena had leaned back and was loosening the wrap that bound her breasts. Terry's eyes widened, and he reached out, stopped her, and said,
Let's wait on that, all right? We've got some traveling to get out of the way first. Given how you responded earlier, I doubt you had breakfast before you left this morning.
She frowned, but lowered her hands and shook her head. He pulled up a cantaloupe, cut it in half, and handed it to her.
First, eat. Then we'll travel, and who knows, maybe tonight there'll be someplace more comfortable than the ground. And I'm on top, for my own health and safety.
Chapter 10. Brawling. Travel was slow. At a walk, Shai insisted she could keep up, but the truth turned out to be somewhat disappointing. She had very little stamina, and after only 2 hours following the riverbank, she asked to rest and resumed the form of a tree to do so. Terry gazed around in annoyance, but there was little to be done about it.
At least I'm dressed.
He'd been brought a pair of crude canvas pants. They'd been almost 6 inches too long, and Terry had cuffed them to keep them off the ground. His feet were still bare, but the ground near the river wasn't giving him any problems, and the grass along the bank was softer than the spiky clumps growing in the sand closer to the sea. He'd been given a fresh tunic, this one made of bleached fibers, that felt much more comfortable than the rough and ill-fated bit of clothing Lena had let him use yesterday. The fact that it was bleached white made him vaguely uneasy, though. Not only did it make him blindingly obvious from a tremendous distance, but the fact that it was white just seemed to invite another bloody confrontation.
And I'm not sure I have that much blood left to spare.
He'd bathed before they set out, and his right arm, though it throbbed dully, seemed at least no worse than yesterday. There was less swelling than he'd expected, leaving him to wonder just how much was due to the effect of the milk and how much his own good health. The sucker marks Cecilia had left on him were fading quickly as well. Once he'd washed off all the crusted blood, he'd been pleasantly surprised at how little damage was left over. He almost asked Lena about the milk she was giving him, but refrained. Just thinking about where that stuff came from was enough to make his ears burn with embarrassment. He did, however, remember what she'd said when she'd first offered the stuff to him. She'd said as long as he got some each day for a week, he'd be fine. At the time, he'd presumed that meant the danger for infection would be past. Now he wondered.
Your dryad really doesn't move very well, Lena said, as she sat down on the edge of the riverbank, sinking her cloven feet into the water.
She's not asleep, you know. She can hear you just fine,
Terry said, as he joined her. He didn't bother folding up the legs of his pants. The canvas didn't really absorb much water.
I know, but at the moment I doubt she's inclined to manifest just so she can gift us with her snark.
Traveling with two women was a terrible idea.
Lena snorted, a very bovine sound, and lightly shoved him as she said,
Pretty sure it was your idea, boss.
First I own a dryad, now I'm a minotaur's boss? Man, I'm just racking up the titles,
Terry shot back, after he resumed an upright position.
Minotress. Minotaurs are male. And I hope you don't mind. Terry is just... I don't know. And both Terry and T sound like girls' names to me.
He glanced up at her with a bemused expression.
Do you know any Terrys?
He asked.
Three, and we call the middle one T to distinguish between them.
Oh, shit. How long have you lived in that village?
Since I was five.
Those people lack imagination, then.
She giggled at that and said,
Yeah, they really do. I know four Matts and, let's see, two Aarons, three Shelleys, and two Jasons. The village only has about 150 people in it, all told, which makes it even worse.
Why'd you move way out here?
Her grin faded.
My sis brought me with her when she left home. It was obvious from when I was really young that I'd be like this. We were living in a village further south that was mostly Torin, and it was starting to get rough. My parents had six other mouths to feed, and my sister was the oldest and has a soft spot for me. She brought me up here so I could grow up away from all the bullies and staring.
So if you don't mind my asking... How old are you now?
She was staring out across the river as he spoke, and he watched one of her rounded ears flicker before she half-turned and lifted an eyebrow at him.
You know we're going to fuck, right? There aren't many questions I have any right to mind you asking.
Terry leaned back on his hands, then winced, and leaned more left than right.
Yeah, there's that. Still not sure how I feel about that.
As he caught her falling expression, he said,
Don't take that wrong. Yes, you're physically attractive, and yes, we will fuck. I'm just not sure how I feel about the whole me being some kind of mystic sex battery thing.
Oh, I thought you'd be used to it.
He laughed.
There's no such thing back home. No weird animal people either.
Weird animal people?
Man, I am just awesome at putting my foot in my mouth. Long story short, where I come from, there's only one intelligent race. Us. We come in different colors, but that's about it.
A world full of just templates? How do you breed?
He blinked and looked at her for a moment, trying to gauge whether the question was serious or not. She looked earnest enough, so he said,
Same way you do, I imagine. Men fuck women. Babies come along about 9 months later.
So, there are female templates too? Huh. All the legends I've heard only mention males.
I should hope so. I can only imagine what sort of experience a woman would have with every guy on the planet out to rape her for superpowers.
Lena thought about that for a moment, then nodded slowly.
I guess so. And I'm 20, by the way. You asked.
I did. You seem well-spoken for someone who grew up in a fishing village with only 150-some-odd people.
She looked back out over the water and splashed her hooves idly, then said,
My sister is a teacher. She's amazing. Everyone loves her. She never loses her temper. She's always smiling, always helping out. She cooks. She produces at least 2 gallons a day. Well, she's pretty much perfect.
As he tried to ignore that last bit, he thought through what she was saying, and it hit him all at once.
You hate her, don't you?
Lena glanced up at the sky, and her ears drooped.
I tried not to. I really did.
He reached up and rubbed her back gently.
Yeah, siblings can be a real mixed bag.
You have brothers and sisters? She asked.
Yeah, I have 2 younger sisters and 1 older brother. Well, had. Will died when I was 9. Gangbangers caught him in a parking lot, curb stomped him and left him there. The coroner's report said he was left in the street all night, that he died slow. My younger sisters are still alive, or were, when I got shot. Who knows now?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Terry shrugged. He found, now that he'd broached the topic, that he really didn't want to talk about his family.
Stupid. They're out of my hands now.
You say that like you were the one holding the family together.
I was. So you've been in the village 15 years. What did you do for work?
He asked, blatantly ignoring her last comment as he changed the subject.
All the usual things. I fished, and I helped with the building whenever we needed to put up new structures. I did most of the lumbering for the village when it was necessary.
I didn't see many trees cut down, any, in fact, when I went through the forest the other day.
There's another forest to the north, about 6 miles past the estuary. Smaller trees and not as many dangerous plants and animals. It's all flat ground, too, which makes things easier.
Terry wanted to ask more about her strength, but sensing it would be the wrong play, instead he shifted gears again.
So tell me more about this city we're headed toward.
Florence. This river joins another, deeper water course, about 20 miles inland, and the whole thing takes a turn southwest. Florence is at the base of the mountains. The area around it is forested, and the population is a melting pot. I'm actually somewhat surprised we haven't seen any boats yet, but most of those take the other channel to the sea, since it's deeper and wider.
She paused, turning to consider him, as she said,
I'm really not sure what they'll make of you, boss. Even with your clothes, it's pretty obvious that you're not a normal person.
What about me stands out the most?
he asked.
Well, your eyes are gray, which is weird. But what really stands out is the fact that you've got no horns, no fur, almost no hair, and your hands and feet are just weird-looking. The closest race to yours is probably the elves, but they have long ears, bigger eyes, and they're, really small. I bet everyone looks small to you.
Stifling that, he said.
How small is really small?
Like the tallest elf I've ever met comes up to my belly button, and they have really shrimpy builds, not like yours at all.
I'll take that as a compliment.
She smiled, and her cheeks colored as dimples appeared.
Oh, you should. You look delicious. I've never seen a male with muscles like yours. You're beautiful.
Since he wasn't quite sure how to respond to that last, he ignored it.
I thought Minotaur men were known for their strength,
he asked.
They are. They also look like barrels from the shoulders down, most of them.
Lena's nose wrinkled. Terry found it adorable.
They don't look like they work for their strength. You do. I mean, you look really good, boss.
He gave her a skeptical look, which she met evenly.
So if you like my look, why are you so down on yours?
He asked.
Girls aren't supposed to be built like I am,
she said, blushing hotly and turning away.
Girls are supposed to be soft.
I see plenty of soft on you, Lena. You've got tits for days.
Thanks, but aside from that, have you seen my ass?
That seems like a trick question.
Lena tilted her head to look down at him. One eyebrow quirked as she gave him an almost predatory smile. Almost, because her face was just too cute to pull the look off well.
Not answering might be more dangerous, boss.
I'm pretty sure she's not actually going to hurt me, but then again, why don't you show me what you want me to see?
She hesitated a moment, eyeing him speculatively.
You're pretty good at dodging, aren't you?
Best defense, don't be there,
he glibly replied.
I have seen your ass, yes, but I haven't seen you pose it for me. I'll bet your butt looks amazing when you flex.
They looked at each other for a moment, and then Terry realized she wasn't actually seeing him anymore. She was staring through him, and her expression would have done passable service as a picture in the dictionary next to disbelief, see astonishment. He waved a hand in front of her eyes. She blinked, focused on him, and asked,
"You want me to flex?"
"You are so repressed. I never really got into the kind of shape I need to compete on a stage, but here, let me show you a few poses I think you'd look killer trying. Some of these aren't nearly as impressive without a pump, but fuck it, we've got time."
He stripped off his shirt and pants, then his fighting trunks, and stood in front of her in nothing but his underwear, as he showed her a variety of stage poses that were the stock in trade of the professional bodybuilder. It had always given him a bit of a thrill to pose in front of an appreciative woman, and Lena practically ate him alive with her eyes as he moved through a series of three-quarter and back poses.
"The trick is to be able to hold the flex throughout the form and not just in one muscle group. It's more work than it looks like. Come on, you try some of these. I want to see."
Her expression fell at his words, and she shook her head.
"Not a chance. I could never do that in front of a man I liked. Someone I wanted to want me."
"Good thing you aren't, then. You're doing it for me."
She snorted at him, and he said,
"Oh, come on, don't bullshit me. You just met me yesterday. If you like me already, it's because you're fooling yourself, or trying too hard because you think you're gonna get something from me."
I'm not a bull.
What?
I don't bullshit. She glared at him, and he backed up a half step as he took in the breadth of her horns, the way her shoulders tapered in heavy triangles of muscles up the sides of her neck.
Yes, ma'am.
See, that's the problem, she cried, waving at him in annoyance. I hate it when men defer to me like that. It's so humiliating. A guy is supposed to be strong. You're one of the strongest-looking men I've seen, and even you fold like a wet shirt.
Lena?
She met his gaze, and he pointed at her, then at himself, then back at her again, as he said,
You are a foot taller than I am. Your horns have got to be at least 2.5, 3 feet long apiece, and they look sharp. You've got an easy 5 or 6 inch reach advantage in your arms, and you have hooves, not feet. If you were a human woman, with just your muscle and reach going for you, I would not be backing down. Understand this. Anyone who sees the weapons you have and doesn't have a gun or a good head start wouldn't be strong to stand his ground. He'd be fucking stupid.
What's a gun?
Never mind. You want to fight?
She looked at him incredulously. Didn't you just say you?
Yeah, I did. If you'll promise me you won't gore me or stomp on me, I'll take you on straight up.
Even if I did agree, you couldn't win. He scowled. His offer had been more than half in jest, but she just said the one thing he wouldn't put up with. He was good at exactly one thing in life, and she called him out. His patience evaporated, and his expression hardened.
The hell with this. Fuck you! I'll hand you your ass.
Her eyes narrowed speculatively. Then she said, I'm not sure I should. I'll lose respect for you, and I'm struggling as it is. I really want to be your woman. I've seen just how powerful you've made Shy. I want some of that, but submitting to a weak man would be just... It would make everything harder. As long as I'm not sure, it's okay.
Yeah, that's even worse. I can beat you.
His eyes never wavered.
I'm hurt, and still a bit sore, but I haven't any doubt that with no weapons I can make you submit. You're talking to a man who made his living fighting in cages.
You're crazy, Terry. I've beaten men bigger than you half to death.
Maybe, but I'm serious. You've got a problem with the way your body looks that I don't have. I compliment you and you don't believe me. You take it for granted that you can thrash me, and that's not true. You're delusional, and I don't like that. So, let's make this real simple. Knuckle up right now, or fuck off. I can't convince you with words. Fine with me. I'll do it with my fists.
He pulled his fighting trunks back on as she slowly stood up and pulled the axes out of the loops at her belt and set them aside. We are both going to regret this, Terry, she said, as she stepped away from her pack and gear.
No, we won't. Even if you beat me, I'll be happy with the truth. I'm willing to back up what I say with everything I've got. Are you?
I'll try not to kill you, she said, sighing softly.
Come on when you're ready.
He put his game face on and closed his mouth. He didn't have a mouthpiece, but he hadn't seen anything to give him any indication that she had any real combat training, and he already knew she wasn't fast. All he had to do was find a way to get her to the ground, and he'd make her submit. She raised her hands, still obviously half-hearted about the whole affair. He raised his own and stepped back. She struck out with a straight right. He slipped her punch, pulled inside, and hit her in the face twice with a left-right combination, before slipping her clumsy attempt at a grab with her left hand. He sidestepped and got 3 quick shots in at her side, before dancing away.
Christ, it's like hitting a block of wood.
She blinked, rolled her lower jaw around, then smiled just a little.
Okay, boss, you asked for it.
Now you're gonna get it. Anger flared, and his upper lip curled in a snarl, his natural aggression now on full display.
Bring it, bitch. You ain't got shit.
She lunged forward, putting her whole body behind her left. He slipped outside and managed two wicked jabs at her kidney before dropping off his feet and rolling over his shoulder as she spun and again tried to sweep him up. It was apparent that she still wasn't really taking him seriously, because she was still trying these clumsy, half-assed grabs. He found his feet, and she was already closing the distance, swinging wildly. He felt a bit like Muhammad Ali, as he slipped her clumsy punches and began concentrating on just a few spots on her abdomen, floating ribs on her right side and dead center at her solar plexus. Her muscle was incredibly tight in both places, but Terry had time. By the end of the first minute, Lena'd begun to pant, and he could tell she was starting to respect his punches, because as he closed in for another exchange, he noticed her tighten her abdomen. She also was starting to get cagey, trying quicker, lighter jabs and shorter hooks. Her speed simply wasn't there, though, and as the second minute passed, Terry decided to continue simple boxing, rather than risk anything fancy. He'd wanted to loosen her up enough for a takedown, but now he had another plan in mind.
It'll be more effective if I just beat her into submission. She might think it's a fluke or a trick if I use a joint lock and not be convinced.
He took his time, moving around and playing it smart. He knew that if she clocked him even once, he was likely to wake up on the ground a week later with a broken whatever she hit. She was just that strong. At this point, his speed and the fact that every move she made was perfectly telegraphed gave him the edge he needed. Her guard had dropped as well, because he'd concentrated so heavily on her body. He broke it up with a few quick shots to the cheeks, though he pulled those punches. He didn't want to break her teeth or accidentally force her to bite her tongue. She was panting open-mouthed now, and it forced him to be careful. Her guard came up again, and he loaded up and caught her on the right with another wicked left hook.
If she's built like I am inside.
She straightened, wincing as she took a half step back and he closed with her, popping her chin and cheek with a series of weak but lightning quick right jabs. Her hands lifted, and he executed a combo, jab, cross, hook, hitting the exposed floating ribs on her right side with everything he had. Lena grunted and took another step back. Then her legs collapsed and she was clutching at her abdomen, making a sound that seemed like a cross between a cow's lowing and a moan.
Well, I guess they don't call me a template for nothing. Same internal structure.
He backed off and crouched, not even out of breath as he waited for her to recover. His anger had bled away, to be replaced almost immediately with guilt. Lena had lived her whole life taking her strength for granted. The few fights she'd been in had probably only taught her how to hold back. Even at the end, when she'd been really trying to hurt him, she just hadn't a clue what to do with all that power. The fact was, he felt bad for the pain she was going through. He'd allowed his emotion to get the better of him. His whole life had been one person after another taking advantage of him, or taking him for granted.
Even at the end, that whole thing was just an excuse to make money off a young punk from the streets. Like I was nothing, like I didn't matter.
Terry took a slow, steadying breath, in an effort to dispel a new wave of anger. None of it was directed at her. This was his fault, not hers. Lena had fallen to her right side, and was clutching at herself, her horns twisting her face into the turf. Every breath was a half-sob.
What did you do?
She gasped, staring at him out of the one eye he could see.
I know how to fight, Lena. I know how to hit someone where it hurts. Just behind your last few ribs on the right side is your liver. It's not well protected and really doesn't like taking a beating.
It's so hard to breathe. My whole right side is...
The pain will ease up in a few minutes, maybe less. You're built like a tank, you'll be fine. Just relax, lay on your back, Take slow breaths.
I don't understand.
He sighed.
That's why you lost. Now that I've seen you fight, next time I won't even rule out your horns and feet. You never stood any kind of chance against me. You're way too slow.
She did as he suggested, and he settled onto his butt as her breathing normalized over the next several minutes. She stared up at the sky, still absently clutching herself as she said,
There won't be a next time, I believe you.
I'm sorry. I let my pride get the better of me. I shouldn't have hurt you.
No, don't say that. I feel a lot better about this now.
She lifted her head enough to look at him.
About us.
He snorted, but bit back the expletive. He already knew she didn't like it. She relaxed with a gasp, staring up again as she added,
Now I can really respect you as a man.
He sucked his teeth.
Now I'm the one who doesn't believe her. What a fucking hypocrite. You know, I've never hit a woman before.
He glanced away from her and shook his head, absently rubbing at the bandages on his right forearm, which was now throbbing fiercely.
I feel like shit now that I have. Her strength was the one thing she believed in. She was a mess before. She's probably worse off now, all because of my fucking pride.
Terry grimaced. He'd been running from practically everyone since he got here. All of it had come to a boil, and he'd hurt someone who was on his side as a consequence. He really did feel like shit. He felt like the lowest of the low. He should have stopped the fight when he first realized how hopeless she was.
Instead, I just savored it and got savage. What kind of a man am I?
Chapter 11. Muscle is Sexy. When Shai emerged, it was just after noon. Lena had long since recovered, but though she'd struggled to reassure him, the violence he'd done cast a pall over him that refused to be lifted. They set out not long after, but instead of letting her walk, Terry took the pack from Lena and insisted that she carry Shai on her back. Shai, surprisingly, did not object. Lena looked put out to be carrying the other woman, but she didn't complain either. She simply gave Terry a speculative look and said, Yes, boss. They made better time, and by the setting of the sun, they'd come to a place where the river they were following split off from another, deeper watercourse that turned further south toward the distant line of mountains. Lena nodded along the flow and said,
We should cross to the western bank here and continue following the river to Florence. The village I come from sells there once a month. I've been a few times. I have some money, but it won't get the three of us very far. We'll need to find a way to make more.
Terry glanced from Lena to Shai, who shrugged. She had her hands draped over Lena's shoulders.
We can't solve the world's problems in a day, particularly if we're broke. You at least need proper food, weapons, and an education. Florence will probably provide these things.
He took in a deep breath, then let it out.
Okay, I still need a disguise.
It speaks,
Shai said, mock amazement flooding her expression.
I was beginning to wonder if Lena had hit you, left you a bit shaken, perhaps.
He scowled, then shook his head and said,
I'm fine, just thinking.
What about?
She asked. Terry turned to see both women looking at him curiously. He opened his mouth, hesitated, then he said,
I just don't think I like myself very much, that's all. I've never thought I would hit a woman for any reason, much less for pride.
Are you still... Boss, I told you it's fine. Better than fine. I can't believe I found a man who can actually... Who can...
She blushed and stuttered to a stop, as Shai smirked and patted the Minotress's shoulder lightly, as she said,
She thinks it's sexy that you can beat her, T. Much as she complains about her own strength, part of the reason is because it makes it almost impossible to find it appreciable in men. Shy leaned her head against Lena's as she smirked.
Does something for me, too, I must admit, though I assure you I don't require so direct a demonstration.
For a tree? You sure do talk a lot, Lena said, clearly put out but not disagreeing.
At least one of us has to be articulate, and it's clearly not you, Shy said, teasingly.
Be nice.
He said it absently, but in a tone that brooked no argument.
If you're going to bicker, do it when I can't hear you. I'd rather you got along.
Says the man who beat up the girl who wants him to fuck her. Shy shot back, not in the least intimidated. To the woman, he's going to neglect to do it.
He looked up at her with a raised eyebrow and said,
Now I know you're jerking my chain.
So long as you know. She smiled at him again. This is obviously new to you, so let me give you some advice. Let the women talk. If either of us has a real problem, I promise we'll bring it to you.
He glanced from her to Lena, who just gazed at him evenly and shrugged. He got the distinct impression that anything else he said would be putting his foot in his mouth. So he didn't say anything. Instead, he swam across the river to the western side. Despite what he'd said to Cecilia, he was a fairly strong swimmer, and backstroked across with the pack balanced on his chest. Shy followed him, and Lena came last, clearly out of her element in the water. Unlike the channel they'd been following, the water here was deep, and the current was strong. Once on the far bank, they dried off and set out again, walking in silence until the moon was up. When they stopped, it was at Shy's insistence, as she firmly declared,
Put me down. We don't need to get there at night. The gates will be closed anyway.
Terry didn't complain, though he wasn't tired. He simply shrugged the pack from his shoulders and stretched, groaning softly as his back and shoulders popped. They'd seen several barges and a single-masted galley pass them by on the water, but each time they'd spotted a boat, Lena had put herself between him and the craft, and each had passed by without hailing them or interfering. Terry glanced up and down the river, but at the moment couldn't see any more traffic. He turned to see that Shy was already shifting into her willow form, her roots scrabbling at and penetrating the soil at the riverbank. Seconds later, she was still, and the moon filtered through her branches.
She is beautiful no matter what form she takes.
Terry glanced at Lena and said,
How far is it to Florence?
Lena glanced around, her heavy head turning ponderously as she considered the moon and stars, then the riverbank.
20 miles, give or take. We'll make it tomorrow around lunch if I carry Shy again. We'll make it the day after tomorrow if we all walk.
He chuckled at that. She smirked, then asked,
Will you take me tonight?
No.
She blinked, then nodded.
I won't push you, boss. I don't really get why you're so upset, but you're honest with me, and I like that.
Lena had packed dried fish for him, and he ate some and drank river water as he watched her wander into the long grass. He was surprised to see her tearing up fistfuls of the stuff and eating it, but after a moment, he just shook his head and looked away, acknowledging once again that he really didn't know much of anything about anything here on Celestine.
What am I even doing here? Why am I here? Who brought me here?
He laid down and folded his hands behind his head, but after a few minutes, Lena nudged him with her hoof and said,
Take a swig of milk before you go to sleep.
He winced as he leaned up and she handed him the jar. He did as he was bade. The milk surprised him each time he tasted it with its sweetness. Some of the richness had gone out of it, and he wondered how long it would keep, considering there weren't exactly any refrigerators anywhere around.
Thanks,
he said, handing the now half-empty jar back. She settled down next to him,
folding her arms over her knees, and for a moment they looked at each other. Her expression seemed speculative, and he found that he was beginning to hate that look.
Everyone here thinks I'm crazy.
She wasn't going to push him, but she wasn't above staring at him with that question in her eyes. He'd been moody ever since they'd thrown down, and she clearly thought he was being silly about it.
Intellectually, I understand,
he said at last, looking out at the river. There was a light breeze, and the almost full moon glimmered on the water. The smells here were so sharp, so clear. There wasn't a trace of pollution in the air, no haze, no litter on the ground. It was clean and beautiful, unlike the cluttered mass of his emotional landscape. Terry let his thoughts roll out of him as they came.
Intellectually. But I was raised swearing to myself that I'd never hit a woman, Lena. Not for any reason. Not after my dad did bad things to my mom. Yet given the chance, I beat you like a drum and liked it. That's not the man I want to be.
So you're a fighter, and you like to fight. Where's the shame in that?
She asked.
There isn't any. That wasn't a fight. I knew within about 30 seconds that you couldn't do anything to me. I should have stopped. I didn't beat you in a fight, Lena. I just beat you. That's why I'm ashamed.
You're really that good? She asked.
Yeah.
It sounded like an admission of guilt. There was no braggadocio. He'd known it like he knew basic math. The numbers just added up. Lena couldn't touch him, and he'd known it. But he hadn't stopped. He was so caught up in self-recrimination that he didn't notice her hand until she had it wrapped around his neck. She lifted him effortlessly off the ground, but his surprise lasted only a fraction of a second. As soon as he was clear of the earth, he swung his legs up, one over her shoulder and the other underneath. He hooked her neck with his foot, locked it in with his other leg, and flexed backward, breaking her hold on his throat as he caught her wrist and curled his body back to put her in an armbar, despite the fact she held him 6 feet off the ground. Her arm came to full extension, and she gasped as he arched. But a second later, he felt the prick of one of her horns as she tilted her head and set it against his throat.
Feel better now, boss?
She gasped. He was putting her in considerable pain through hyperextension, and the tip of her horn trembled, but he knew that all she had to do to open his throat up was jerk her head. She had him dead to rights. He let her go and fell 6 feet before rolling over his shoulder into a crouch, feeling at his throat. She hadn't drawn blood, but as their eyes met, both of them knew she could have.
You're good, but you're not invincible, she said quietly. You and I fought. You beat me, and I'm good with it.
She thrust a finger at him pointedly. You need to be good with it. Emotion surged in him, and he trembled. Every instinct cried out for violence, for vengeance, but he jerked his head to the side and closed his eyes, taking deep breaths.
Point taken.
Even that much took effort, and he forced himself to relax one body part at a time, folding himself into a seated position, as he said again,
Point taken.
Good. Doesn't take anything away from what you did, either. You're fucking amazing, Terry Mack. Not as strong as I am, but so fast. If you had a sword, or even a knife, I'd have been dead on the ground, and I know it. You went easy on me.
I don't think I'm that fast. Reminding her I think she's just slow probably wouldn't serve me well, though.
His minor adrenaline spike faded, and Lena came to him and folded herself down onto her hip as she settled next to him. He glanced at her, but she'd put her bust at eye level for him, and he looked away, flushing slightly. The image lingered.
How do you know to do those things you do?
She asked, looking down at him.
When I picked you up, I thought I'd just have you dangling. Everyone usually just gasps and grabs my wrist. Is it instinct or training?
Training, he said, You caught me completely off guard with your horn. Very clever.
Not really. You used what you got. I used what I got. No mystery there. I actually had to work to remember I wasn't supposed to gore you earlier. You had me panicking toward the end.
She glanced at him warily as he opened his mouth. Before he could speak, she said,
"Don't you dare."
His breath hitched in his throat, then he blew out and half-grinned.
"Fine, no more apologies."
"Good. Makes you sound like a beta male when you throw out 'I'm sorry' as a reflex, and I'm pretty sure we've established that's not my type."
He grinned at her. She grinned back, then turned her attention to the moonlit water.
"Don't make me wait too long, boss. I made the first move. Now it's your turn."
Terry studied Lena, and she resolutely didn't look at him as he did so. She was resting on her hip, propped up on one arm, and her chest was at eye level, not more than a foot away. He glanced up and noticed that her horn actually hung just over his head. She was that close. He could smell her, too, and it wasn't the cloying stink of body odor. She practically radiated health, and her scent was earthy and pleasant.
"I know I said I wouldn't, but maybe I should take my own advice and knuckle up or fuck off. She probably thinks, if anything, I'm hesitating because no matter what I say, she thinks I don't like muscle chicks."
An idea popped into his mind, and he grinned rather viciously and said,
"I want to see you flex. Impress me, and I'll fuck you right here, right now."
She blinked, frowned, and glared at him with a dubious expression on her adorable face as she said,
"You know I don't."
"I know."
He grinned.
"I guess you don't want it as much as I thought you did."
Her lips thinned a bit, and her ears flickered backward.
"You're making fun of me."
"Give me some good poses, and I'll make fun with you. I told you before that I like what you've got, but if you still don't believe what I tell you, then I'm not in the mood."
He gave her a cocky grin.
"So put me in the mood. Believe me when I tell you I think muscle is sexy. And show me yours."
He could tell that she was thinking about it. Her uncertainty was at war with her desire. It occurred to him as he watched her that if he'd asked her for money instead of poses, it would pretty much make him a straight-up prostitute. The whole idea of trading sex for power made him queasy to think about, though. So he put it away and watched as her wish overwhelmed her uncertainty, and she stood.
"Fine. But I'll only do it naked, and I'm not in the mood to strip."
She stood up and stared down at him with a challenge in her eyes, and this time he had no qualms about rising to the occasion. He shifted up to his knees and kissed her exposed thighs, curious about the feel of the soft, short hair that covered her. She flexed each thigh as he kissed it, and her quad swelled up and corded, turning her legs into hard planes of muscle.
"That is so hot,"
he murmured. He glanced up and saw that her cheeks were burning with embarrassment. Terry reached for the simple iron buckle of her belt and worked it loose, then slid it away, dropping her breech clout in the process. Her belly was bare of fur and well-tanned, but that tan stopped in a hard line where she wore her belt and showed him the unexpected. Her sex was naked. Her mound was smooth and tight, and he brushed his fingers over her stomach just below her belly button before he stood up and began working on the only other piece of clothing she wore. Her breasts were far too large to go unsupported, and bras didn't seem to be a thing here. Instead, she kept them rather tightly wrapped, and Lena made him go looking for where the end of the wrap was tucked. The only help she'd give was to lift her arms. He ran a finger along the upper band, all the while enduring her smirk. He found the loose end on his second time round, and began the pleasant process of unwinding. She stopped him just before he revealed her nipples and pulled him close. He kissed her, and she ran her fingers down his back as she let out a long, low sound of pleasure. Terry didn't let her get too far with the kiss, though. He really did want to see her pose for him. Another two rounds and the wrap fell away. Terry couldn't help himself. He lifted